like it's light, shine bright, bad boy sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City zone, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
What's up, everybody? Matt Michaels here, along with Rob Ossoleri and Steven City Steve on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. And if you like Perry and you like Wrestle, then you got a good pay-per-view from France, and also a Raw from the France. And those frogs were into it, man. It was kind of crazy.
Okay. Where was that going with?
What do you want to start with, Rob?
It was, there was wrestling.
There definitely was.
There was wrestling.
There definitely was. And realistically, yet again, the French crowds show just how valuable they can be. Realistically speaking, say whatever you will about the match quality. I'm not going to, talk a lot of shit or, be a complete negative Nancy on WWE.
I will.
But what I will say is this. The crowds that they get traditionally in France are some of the greatest crowds that they get in the calendar year. And they can take a, kind of a match, and they can elevate it. And I think in turn, the guys and the girls in the ring occasionally and more often than not do feed on that crowd energy. So I think that there were some matches on Clash in Paris. I'm sure we'll talk about them that didn't quite hit the mark, pun somewhat intended. I want to take a second and talk about the positives realistically, and then we will talk about the negatives. But I think that they really did. They did a great job with in the very opening match at Clash in Paris. You have Bronson Reed stretcher out Roman Reigns. And if that doesn't say this guy is an absolute monster, yes, he lost the match, but he may very well have won the battle. Because we all know Roman has to go off to fight or to film Street Fighter. So I think that this is a great example of what you can do to get somebody over and add a little bit of extra heat behind them when one of, if not your face of the company, goes off and pursues other things, at least temporarily. So I think that got the show fired off on a really hot note. So
yeah, Rob hated it. We could tell.
I didn't hate the SmackDown. They did something. I didn't necessarily hate the Raw. They put more entertaining matches before and after than they did on the PLE.
You were just talking about the first match. What are your feelings of that and him getting stretchered out? Mr. Old Get Off My Lawn Wrestling Man?
With him getting stretchered out, it's like you said, there's a movie coming up. Yes, he did the same thing to Seth Rollins, and they did double back and go, hey, that's Seth Rollins is like, I can't beat him. I might as well join him. What was more impressive than the tsunami, the obligatory tsunamis, was the running spear from one desk to the other. That yes. was good because he's signing the shoes that he won back. He's flinging them to the crowd, then he gets chopped in half. Cool. Running spear down the ramp. He didn't get all of it. But the running spear, Bron Breakker was elevated. He did the Dennis Rodman, Derek Jeter horizontal, and that was cool. When you do a belly flop, I'm like, it's a belly flop, and it's a belly flop after the fact. It's not a very practical move in the middle of a match. It's something that he's only ever been able to implement after a match to look menacing, but they only do it to push along a storyline. He doesn't really win off it. He's not a winning wrestler. And I still feel like he's a jobber. He's a higher class jobber, but he still has jobber energy all over him. What he came out tonight and he goes,
So you think everyone should win?
Eventually. He's okay. A jobber. Now, he came out today and he goes, his big thing today was, well, Paul's not here, so I can do whatever I want. I don't have to be on a leash. I'm a big boy. That was the gimmick. And I was like, well, you could always do whatever the hell you want. You know, it's like when Braun cut his own promo, what was the energy? Paul Heyman looked at Braun and went, oh my God, he's cutting his own promo. Oh, he's speaking. And I'm like, actually, he's not horrible on the mic, but they treated him like he was an infant. And I'm going, it's weird to put them in that box.
I want everything now.
No,
I want Braun Breaker to be on the mic, and I don't want it in the development, and I don't care about this bit, but I want it now.
I rewind. That would have worked if he wasn't already the IC champ twice and dominated the shit out of so many people.
Hey, Rob. I think we found your soul.
I didn't say I love AEW. I didn't. Don't try to mark me out. I didn't say I love AEW. They fucked up so many times as of late in the last two years plus.
It's not AEW. It's just all wrestling fans who look like that and sound like that.
Yeah, well, I don't sound like that. I sound like Barry White, so go fuck yourself.
Okay. All right. Okay, Mr. Barry White. Well, we did have this happen, and Becky then on Raw cut a great promo against CM Punk. People were expecting this to happen at some point. So,
man, my hot husband.
The question is, it was kind of spoiled that she was going to be doing this because their little fucking kid once again told the teacher fucking last week, and it just got out on the internet that mom is going to be in all black and fucking, you know, cost the match. Boy,
me mom's just going to come in there and save pops.
Yeah.
I just find it funny that, who is it? Is it Mike Johnson? Is it Sean Ross Sapp? Is it the Melts himself that has this contact that is the teacher?
All right.
Because literally, like that, the teacher's leaking the shit. To who? I'd like to know. That'd be interesting.
Somebody's coming to pick this kid up at school when the parents can't, and all of a sudden it's like, well, wait, you're not my babysitter? No. My name is Uncle Dave. It's cool. So what's going on? Where's your parents? Here's a lollipop. It's gonna make you tired.
The Rollins child did disappear underneath stacks of paper for at least 3 weeks. So
yeah.
Uncle Dave,
you know, he's drugging the kid. He's the kid. Hey, look. If you got to go pee pee time, all you have to do is tell me where mommy and daddy are and what their gimmick is gonna be this week.
You know, I think this actually played in perfectly, Michaels, because this was the other great thing that came out of the Clash in Paris show was obviously, yes, you know, Seth Rollins retains the championship after all of his henchmen are sent out of the building. I think that that's something that has to be echoed. So they played it up and they planted the seeds that no one was there to help Rollins. Obviously... Yeah, we see what happens. But realistically speaking, if you've got these guys going away to go film a movie, if you're worried about any kind of star power, any kind of nostalgia, okay, what a great time to possibly bring back Mrs. CM Punk, AJ Lee, as it will play into the storyline absolutely perfectly. With obviously Becky Lynch costing CM Punk directly, and then them planting the seeds again on Raw. So I think that this is a perfectly timed thing for sure.
Do we know? Do we have any confirmation that she's training at the center?
I think she's been training nonstop. That's been the understanding. But I don't know if she's at the PC.
Because when what's her name came back, when Lita came back, she goes, "Hey, they had me at a gymnastics place doing tumbles and things so I can get my body reacclimated to wrestling."
Yeah, or reacclimated to, you know, the Edge sex shows that they were going to bring back. I don't know. The last I saw, AJ just lost to Dominic today for the Intercontinental title. So I don't know if they're going to team. I don't know, but, you know, it's nice,
like wrestling dad jokes.
Yeah. Well, it's nice. Hey, listen, I didn't think that AJ and CM Punk would last very long, and they've been together a while now. And they're both, you know, cantankerous old men. So, which is a great tag team name for when they tag them together.
Cantankerous old men. Yeah, come.
That's right. Old spelled with a U. Old. Cantankerous old men.
Hello! Old. We are come! Jeez. We have 20,000 people strong to see come in the building.
Look, Cena's got the come face.
Yeah, he's nutting right there.
Oh,
pretty much.
Oh, speaking of,
I'm going to retract what I said. That match showed that Logan Paul had depth in his arsenal. He came out. He had so many different moves at his disposal, and they really put him over, at least for the ability that he could fight.
Dude, I've been parroting the praises of Logan Paul since the guy stepped into a ring. I think that he's quite possibly one of, if not the best celebrity turned pro wrestlers that we have ever seen. It's astounding the ability that the guy has, the raw athletic ability that he has. And that was a perfect showcase for that.
On right. Some other busted shows, they were claiming that it was going to be a spot fest, but it really wasn't as much a spot fest. He was very, very polished in the ring and while implementing other fighting styles. I mean, he started going through Cena's entire repertoire, and he did it better than R-Truth.
Well, and Cena was going through AJ's, which was great too.
The Styles Clash was a little choppy, but it was good.
Yeah, and that's what he's intending on trying to do to honor some other, you know, guys that he's not going to have a chance to wrestle. And Logan Paul is this good that MJF said that the Buckshot Lariat was way better than the Crooked Cowboys, which is absolutely true.
Don't work yourself into a shoot, Michaels.
Hey, I'm just saying, Logan Paul, better than, I'd say, two-thirds of the AEW roster, including Hangman Page.
Oh, well, that's, you know. But Hangman is for lovers.
Speaking of lovers, look at how these kids made up. The Brussels kid.
Yeah, what's with this? Is that the kid, like, balled him out in another country?
Yeah, that's the kid from Brussels that he basically told to, you know, fuck off.
The little kid that became a meme.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great to see him there. All right, so little kid that became a meme right here. Sami Zayn wins that U.S. title. And now reports suggest Sami Zayn's United States Championship victory is viewed as a test run by WWE officials. The company reportedly wants to see how well he handles the pressure of holding a singles title before moving him into a higher spotlight. Current plans indicate Sammy won't be holding onto the U.S. title for long, as the focus is on elevating him towards the main event scene. According to sources, Zayn is in the front runner spot to win the upcoming Royal Rumble, setting him up for a massive WrestleMania moment where he could finally capture world championship gold. First off, pretty easy to just make that assumption without any sources. I mean, it's pretty just spotful. Some officials say, yeah, it's pretty fucking obvious that they could be considering him for WrestleMania. Duh, motherfuckers, duh. But, you know, along the lines of how they've built, you know, this with him, it's not out of the realm that, you know, he's going to be elevated and getting a push. And of course, Kevin Owens said one of the best indeed, top one in my opinion. I still hate him, though, or maybe not. I don't know. It's hard to remember. It depends on the day. I guess we'll see what happens. One thing I do know for sure is that he's the best. And Triple H said an incredible performance by Sami Zayn. So, listen, the guy is beloved. He's a beloved locker room guy. Makes sense that at this point, you know, you probably do give him a potential WrestleMania moment. Especially too, with the idea that Kevin Owens might not ever wrestle again. So if you take him out of the picture, now Sammy kind of steps into that role where he had Kevin, which is that, you know, right on that line of main event, just below main event. So I don't know.
I would want to see one change from him. I would want to see two things. I would want to see a slight persona change, maybe a more of an edge to him. I'm tired of him being this plucky underdog character. It gets redundant. And if you want to be a champion, you have to own it. Every champion they have goes in there believing that it's automatically their championship. None of them, as of late, would ever think anything any other way. And here's the other thing. I'd like to see him go look like he did when he first came out 12 years ago to a degree. I'm tired of looking at this guy who looks like any random homeless guy walking off the street with the big scraggly beard and the hair.
Come on,
bro, representation matters, man. They're trying to get that demographic in. They gotta have Sami Zayn looking like he literally crawled off the street, bro. Come on.
I'd almost like to see something where he cleans up a little bit and comes out with a little bit more of an edge and cockiness. Doesn't have to be a heel, but he needs to be able to just come out and talk shit.
I think that you make a good point. We do need to see a bit of character dynamic from Sami Zayn. Obviously, we all know the plucky underdog, like you mentioned, but also whenever he's a heel, he's always a whiny crybaby, you know, just a heel that is a male Karen, for lack of a better description.
When he was doing the conspiracy theory stuff and he was going around and he had the camera crew and he's going to talk about the, all right, it was funny for a month and then they went on and they went on too long.
Yes. So hopefully he's able to show some depth of character. I'm pretty sure that he'll be able to do it. After all, you know, I think that if anything, his lessons that he was taught by El Generico will help to take him to the next level.
Yeah. So anyway, guys, fucking way over. Oh, let's change his character. Okay. Yeah.
Is he way over though? I wouldn't say he's way over. I think if you would have said, all right, you know, we're not going to go this route. We're going to keep the American title on the werewolf. That would have been, people would have been fine with that if you would have pushed him to the top, because he was much more over than Sami Zayn. He has much more energy in the ring than Sami Zayn, and he was more dynamic in the ring than Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn is hoping to hit a Helluva kick after a couple of shitty Blue Thunder bombs. That's it. We're going to get that Blue Thunder bomb. We're going to think he has a chance. No, he won't. Oh, wait, by some way, he gets a Helluva kick off, and he wins.
Right. Too bad that the crowd fucking loves that shit.
But you always also say, though, that the European crowds are an outlier because they're overhyped. When he comes into American crowds, yes, he's over, but we have seen pops, bigger pops from other superstars on that roster.
Without a doubt, I think that one thing that we should mention really quick is obviously, I think that putting the championship on Sammy when they did, where they did, makes all the sense in the world, because if nothing else, it helps to train the audience. This guy's a big deal. This is a huge deal. People love this guy. I should cheer for this guy as well. So I see the mentality on why they put the title on him and why they put it on him, not at a pay-per-view, but on an episode of free TV. So.
Well, it is also, hey, wait a minute. Title change hands on a regular television show. We better pay attention to these episodes.
Absolutely. Everything we don't want to miss must see.
FOMO. Oh, I missed a great moment, and now I'm seeing clips of it on my timeline, and I missed it, and I didn't get to see it live. Let's not assume that it's going to be on the PLE.
Yeah, and that's too bad, because that means you missed this moment, Rob. You should have been there in the room taking notice of Brandy giving birth.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the conception.
Well, no. We all saw that. That was $30 on ESPN.
Oh, yeah?
Right. Yeah. Did you not check what out? Color
wait, hold on. What color was the hair? And did the carpet match the curtains?
Yeah. Yeah, it did. Apparently. Yeah.
Hey, he's 2 for 2 with the girls.
Right, which means that the Rhodes bloodline is ending in terms of male wrestlers.
Oh, it's not ending. There's going to be a lot of blood with those two.
Wow. I don't understand it. I don't know what you're saying. I think that's horrible. And it's just god-awful, like the programming at AEW. Jimmy Cordero says Tony is way too obsessed with the idea of running the ECW arena. It looks small, like I knew it would, but it lacks the grittiness that made ECW seem cool. Instead, you've got an HD production coming out of a bingo hall. What downgrade from 18,000 at their last show in 02? He has a point. It looked very sharp, I guess, but
it was better than that dinner theater bullshit that they went to.
Oh, it was practically the same thing, dude.
Yeah. Here was my thing of that. They had an opportunity to tie in the Providence. They gave Taz an award right after for his years of wrestling, his ECW participation, his participation in wrestling in AEW, but they didn't air it. They did it after the cameras were done with the official taping, and it was freaking a Bully Ray who said, wait a minute. That was a heart-wrenching moment that would have had any wrestling aficionado and fan who knows who Taz is would have been happy to watch. You could have easily cut out one of the matches and put that on your programming. That would have been valuable and would have had a tie-in to why we're watching in this small taping room at the 2300 arena with matches that were not that hardcore. But keep in mind, nobody had a problem when NXT went there.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for saying that, Rob. Yeah.
Right. Hold on. NXT is not pulling in 18,000 on a pay-per-view just the week before. That's his point. And this is a point Rob made after All In. You went from 27,000 to fucking Shakespeare on a fucking plate of turkey.
This is the thing. It was a bad place to go to. What I will agree with is the timing. They lack any notion as of continuity. When you have small arenas like that, and I can hear the guy coughing 3 rows in, that looks terrible. It's really odd to your audience. That said, they could have done more with it and made it make sense because it's supposed to be hallowed ground, and they could have built up how important that room was, but they didn't. They just showed up there. It's not that they went to the wrong place. It's that they didn't build it up properly or give it the right exposure or at the right time. So it was the right place at very much the wrong time. Also, that could have been a Ring of Honor type thing or a Collision thing where you know you have a smaller viewing audience to begin with. You save it for that, even though I know they tape everything at the same time.
So but for a company that is apparently so fucking profitable, it's a cost-saving measure because they strike up a deal for whatever it is, six tapings, whatever. That's what this is.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
It absolutely is.
Yeah. Fine.
That's what a residency is.
But you can make anything look good except for that dinner theater bullshit, because that place had no providence. But this one did. They could have sold it to a degree.
So I think the something that needs to be said is, and Rob, I can't believe that you haven't caught on to this yet, being as perceptive as you are. They've taken the turn of having all of their weekly TV shows occur in smaller venues that have a more unique look to them. And that's become the new normal with AEW. And then they will do their pay-per-views in your standard size arenas. I think that, you know, that's been something that I've just simply understood to be the new business model. Run your weekly TV shows at these smaller venues as a cost saver, and then on pay-per-view, where they truly excel, I think everybody here can agree, their pay-per-views are very solid shows. And that's where they shine. So as a result, they're going to sell out those larger venues as a result. But
weekly TV shows. Watch those terms sell out.
Yeah, well, first of all, here's my thing with that. I would like to see them in venues, something around the size of an Orleans theater for those locals, something 10,000 seats or less that still gives the appearance of looking like some type of a
you can't sport. Do that when you're drawing 1,500.
No, I know. But maybe the Pearl Theater, something that looks.
That would work.
The Pearl Theater is a 3,000 seater.
And it ticks the box for having a unique aesthetic. If you'll notice, they're playing a lot of music halls. They're playing venues that have a very interesting kind of a stage setup. The seating is sometimes in like a box seat type of a setting.
And they use that area well. When they did come to the Pearl Theater, Moxley will walk out from the parking lot, cut his promo while he's walking into the arena. He did that in Ohio. He did that this time around. They did it when they first brought Roderick Strong in. They had them fighting on the outside and fought their way back in to help Omega. They're using the full space around them, which is good. I would like to see more than just three rows of people. I don't want it to be like Sam's Club, Sam's Town.
That's the problem.
I understand. Again, I understand. But they have to find.
Here's the thing. Let's be honest. It just is one of those things where we keep getting told by the guy in charge, the only one who can give us anything because none of these numbers are public, that we're doing great. But we see the fact that you're playing these venues and you're booking a residency for a reason.
Excuse me, you don't know the numbers. I know the numbers, okay? They gave me the numbers. They said they were terrible. I fired the person. The numbers are terrific. These numbers, like, on levels never before seen. We've got over 1.5 million viewers every week. We brought some in because we did some stuff with the cable signal. We doubled it over, but it was very good. You know, they said we counted the boxes twice because there's a guy watching and then there's a Nielsen rating guy, but that's two people because the box is another person. Believe it. It makes sense when you really think about it. It makes perfect sense. We've got 1.75 million voters.
Hold on. Wait. I can't let you go on without mentioning Nine Box Monet. Okay, because she's got nine boxes now.
We love her boxes. They're tight boxes. They're shiny boxes. They're glistening boxes. These are boxes like never before seen, and they're boxes from all over the world. Do you realize she has nine boxes? All different colors and shapes and sizes, and they're tight boxes too. It's a very tight box, and she scissored a lot of women, beat a lot of women, touched a lot of lips, And she was even touched by Tony Storm, who kissed all four of her lips. Look it up. Believe it. And she's won so much gold. She's had so much strapped on her. You know, they strapped so much on her. They've strapped so many boxes on her. And then she's got the pink box, the red box. One of her boxes is pink and one is red. It's beautiful. And one of them is blue. They call it the World Waffle Wrestling Championship, and it's a blue waffle box. Believe it. Believe it.
You know, one of the reasons that this company is having struggles is because apparently they like to get most of their wrestlers from Temu. They got Temu Triple H back this week.
I know. I'm in no shape to say anything, but still, it looks like he went through a weekend of pancake batter.
It's like Triple H and Marty Jannetty had a child.
Yeah. Like that's when you wear the jersey. Or,
as some people said, Mickey Rourke is All Elite. All right, Steve, defend Kenny.
Y'all go through diverticulitis. Have fun with that, and you know, let's see how you know.
I drink good.
How you guys look? Yeah.
So that's my answer for that.
My thing is, man, I'm not gonna criticize Kenny Omega for that. You know, I'd be lying if I said I didn't notice it. But realistically, at the end of the day, you know, you have to also look at what the guy went through.
And well, he's also not
the relative career, the relatively short amount of time. And yes, that's the thing. And I was about ready to mention that he, like everyone else, is doing nothing but getting older. So age is going to start becoming a factor in his recovery.
His Snapdragon suplexes, if you watch the way he was giving them before, he would grab you, you're on the ground. Now he stops. It's almost like he counts a one Mississippi because he stops, he plants his feet, and then he does it. It still looks effective, but it's a lot slower.
It's lost a step. Yeah, I agree. But the thing is,
we gave Sheamus all that shit when he came back looking like the Pillsbury Doughboy. So
and then he got himself in shape.
And he got in great shape. He got in great shape. So let's hope that Omega does the same.
However, as great as Sheamus.
Wait, wasn't Omega back already, though?
He's been back for a little while. He's been back since he lost the unified belt.
Right. So what I'm saying is that in his time off, it's not that it's what he went through. It's just that for whatever reason, he just hasn't kept up or he may not ever come back in the shape that he once was.
Exactly.
So at that point, you know what? Change up a little bit. Where
do the Matt Hardy, wear the sleeveless shirt, cover up the belly, you know, have some merch to sell, cut off the sleeves. Here's the new Kenny Omega shirt that he's sponsoring. He's showing a shop AEW.com. You can get your Kenny Omega shirt, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know,
and like get a sponsorship from Waffle House or something.
You know, chicken and waffles. I mean, you know, it looks like he can hold off on the syrup. He's got a 4-pack. I got a 4-pack, you know. Why do I have a 4-pack? Why? Because I went to the gym today, but, you know, I still had a chocolate alcohol bomb and eggs with a lot of American cheese and 4 cheeseburgers, 2 hot dogs because, you know, it's Labor Day and I labored watching somebody else cook the food that I ate.
Yes, it sounds like you should be in labor with that type of belly, man. Jesus Christ. Jim Cornette. She's a rotten actress. She's physically unimpressive. She's black to me in the ring because she misses as much as she hits, or she's trying to hold her wig on top. And, you know, but she loves what she's doing. We really can't deny that she's just not really very good at any of the parts of it. Jim Cornette on Mercedes Moné. Oh, God bless you, Jim Cornette, for telling the truth on that one.
Do you remember what a pop she got when they first played CEO for that first week? There was a huge pop, and then you realized there was nothing beyond that. And so,
yeah, man, it's crazy. But I gotta take a bit of umbrage with that, man. Like she's done quite a bit of good shit in the ring this year. I understand Jim Cornette is staying consistent to the gimmick and sticking to it, that everything that AEW does is bad. And that's evidently been the vibe here tonight as well.
But that's not AEW wise. I'm not saying.
But realistically, though, like I know that people, Mercedes is an extremely polarizing person. You know, people love her, people hate her, and I think that removing all feelings about the person, if you look at what she's done in the ring this year, I think she's done great things in the ring this year. And I know that you fundamentally the
same thing about this guy.
Yeah.
She's not a hold on. Mercedes Monet is not a botch artist. Her character is obnoxious. She's old school Charlotte Flair, a la a year and a half ago. There is some talent in the ring. The problem is, as of late, she's playing this timid character, and now it's starting to reflect in the way that she wrestles, where she is very standoffish in the ring, and she's on her back more than she's the one laying people out and stringing together moves and spots. She's been very sloppy. And
wait, are you talking about her personal life again, or just?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, sometimes you got to take a few for the team. You know, just, you know, God only knows where. And if she's doing what Tony Khan tells her to do, then that taking one for the team might be some Blumpkins. But I digress. The idea that she's being told to hold on to 9 belts and we don't know anything about them past the one-off mention is a combination of her, and it's a combination of the way AEW markets their talent when the talent goes abroad to fight in other promotions. It makes no sense to have somebody with that many belts be that mediocre. And right now she's mediocre. I would like to see her just systematically lose, have a baby face turn, realize that she did wrong, go through and do like the hometown hero on TNA, go, I got to earn your respect back. I got to earn my validation. And she could do that. And she could be a baby face in 3 months if she wanted to.
Yeah. I think the, you know, what's going to be compelling, I genuinely hope that there is some sort of a backlash to what's been going on in terms of, I hope we get to see the other side of the coin. Like, she loses all 9 of the belts, maybe in quick succession. And then she goes on, you know, some other kind of a character spin. Maybe she does, you know, hit rock bottom or whatever the situation is. But if we don't get that, and this is literally just, hey, we're trotting her out with 9 belts, and there's never any kind of a comeuppance or a vulnerability for this character, I think that's where you're really going to see people turn against this character, and that will establish go away heat for Mercedes.
But here's the other thing, you know, as much as a heel as she is, who is she really feuding with on the AEW roster? Nobody. She's not busting anyone's chops. She's not ruining anyone's day. She lost to Tony once and doesn't go after her again. If she really was a heel, she would want to dominate every segment of airtime that a woman can get on there. And she doesn't even do that. That's my problem, is if you want to be a heel, then look no further than Athena. Athena is a better heel.
Yes. I agree entirely, man.
She's a better heel. She's a better wrestler.
Yes.
Personality.
Athena needs to be on the show on a regular basis. That's why I was genuinely hoping that at ROH Death Before Dishonor that they would have actually had Athena drop the title to Mina. Obviously, you've got a built-in storyline there, but Athena needs to be on AEW TV every week, or at least every other week.
Mina Shirakawa is there to be a lipstick lesbian. That's her lot in this. Whether she can wrestle or not is irrelevant. The way they treat her is just eye candy to be a tag along and to be, you know, a valet for the other women.
All right. You mentioned Death Before Dishonor. What happened on that show? Because obviously about 5 people got to see it.
So the one thing that I'll say is, and I know Michael's, You hate this because I'm actually going to say something positive about TK. But there was an issue with the live feed for Honor Club subscribers. So rather than, you know, have it be archived or, you know, anything of that nature, they released the event for free on YouTube. So if you didn't happen to catch it live, you can actually go right now on YouTube and watch the full Death Before Dishonor pay-per-view, which, you know, say whatever you will about storylines and things like that with Ring of Honor, but they did have some very, very good in-ring action. It was definitely highlighted by Bandido defeating Hechicero for the Ring of Honor World Championship. It was a 37-minute match. There were a couple of hiccups here and there, yes, but these guys were busting their ass, a really high work rate match for that 37 minutes. And obviously Bandido retained. Quite frankly, Bandido is having, he's in the conversation for Wrestler of the Year. If you look at his body of work, what he's done, the matches that he has had probably one of the best years in his career in 2025.
If a wrestler falls in a forest, does he make a sound? Because that's the kind of
nobody's there to hear it.
I totally get that. And the one thing that I am happy about is that he has been featured more prominently with AEW. He and Brody King together and ended up putting the tag team titles on them. So that shows the level of commitment for Bandido. But I think that this guy still has a lot to offer, and he's really starting to step into his own. I think that 2025 has been an excellent year for Bandido. I really want to see what he does in 2026, as it really wouldn't surprise me if they bump him up the card and actually put him on display, probably for that Unified Championship. I don't want to say the big title, but at least getting TNT Championship for sure.
He would have to get one of those bids. You can't have him at the top because he's got to be able to cut a fair amount of English promos or have a really over the top mic guy.
Don't worry. He'll be in the Callis family within the next 5 weeks. So
this is my guy, Bandido, and he is in the Don Callis family. And look, I've even got him his very own. Oh, wait a minute! I grabbed the green screwdriver.
Nice.
But that's what Callis had, was a green screwdriver. But that was the idea, is, all right, you're going to have him on the Callis family with 72 other, you know, meaty wrestler guys who have no mic skills and they just exist just so the audience could go, meat, meat, meat.
Yeah, man. The thing that I can tell you is, as far as, you know, as far as the Callis family, they continue to add fucking members. It's starting to get like NWO 2000-ish with just the number of people that they're putting into that stable. And realistically, I mean, Don Callis, the guy kills me with his brand of humor, such as when he's introducing Hechicero and he actually says, "Yo soy Hechicero." He's saying, "I am Hechicero."
And yo soy Hechicero.
It's becoming a thing now. So it's funny. I don't know if he knew what he was doing the first time, but it's caught on as such a meme now that he's got to do it every time.
The best thing was the painting he had done. They do the painting gimmick all the time.
Yeah.
But it was so homoerotic.
With Tom Fletcher.
Yeah, it was so great. And he's got the screwdriver hanging off of his hips, and he's got no shirt and rippling muscles. And you could tell they're painting the scar on because it's different every time he comes out on the stage. And I love it. It's great. But the problem is you can't have a stable of 10 guys and you use none of them.
Yeah, well, one. Listen, who cares about the stable? Rob, tell us a little bit more about the sexiness of all this.
Well, I mean, first of all, you had the sweat dripping off their supple bodies.
DJ Impact's raw high cowboy boots, white snake skin pattern on the top of the shoe. I got my hat.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
All right. Speaking of a tree falling and no one hearing it, if you put on a wrestling event on Fox Nation, does anyone care, especially when it's quote unquote real wrestling and then you have MMA guys show up? I'm so confused on what this shit was with this Hulk Hogan. And what is it? Real American Freestyle, a Hulk Hogan tribute, this show was.
Well, it was supposed to be an actual promotion, I thought. And
yeah.
And like his beer, he kicked the buckets of both of them. Have a short shelf span.
Well, and a horrible they're continuing them.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
They're continuing the shows. They've set it up. Yeah. Chael Sonnen and Tito Ortiz.
Tito Ortiz, yep. So it's just sad. And it's almost as sad as this. Did you know Donald Trump thought Vince McMahon died in 2007's limo explosion?
Why are you saving those things for the end of the show? Or is this real?
This is real news. Now, back in 2007, WWE cooked up one of its wildest soap opera moments. Vince McMahon was killed off when his limo suddenly exploded on Monday Night Raw. The show played it totally straight with somber commentary and even WWE's website reporting it as if Vince had really gone up in smoke. It was so convincing that none other than Donald Trump, yes, the same guy who went on to become president of the United States, picked up the phone in a panic. He rang WWE HQ to offer condolences, genuinely worried about poor Vince. Officials then had the awkward task of explaining to him that Vince wasn't barbecue. He was backstage just fine. And the whole thing was, you know, wrestling make-believe. Fast forward a decade later, and that same man who thought Vince would have blown up into a fake limo is now Commander-in-Chief of America. Really does love a good storyline. Well,
do you want me to? All right, let's. Hello, I'd like to speak to Linda. I want to give my sincerest condolences. You know, it's so sad. This stuff is crazy. These people are very dangerous. They do some dangerous things, and they should have checked. They Owen Hart. They gave him the Owen Hart. They put that little clip on there that they held Owen Hart up with, and it was they held a steel beam up with a boat rigging. You know, you don't hold the steel beam up with boat rigging, and it fell out. I'm so sorry. My condolences to H and Linda and the spawn of his sperm, Shane O'Mac. That's Vince McMahon's seed right there. His sperm met with Linda's egg, and they made Shane O'Mac. And my condolences to him and to the bottom feeding trash bag hoe. Stephanie, she's a bottom feeder. So sad, so very sad. We were so sorry. Vince is gone. But I'm going to make you a very, very fair offer for the WWF EW. I have a number. You tell me if it's good or if you want to go. If you want it to go less, you know. If you want to go down from there, we could go down from there.
Well. You know, in June 2007, that happened. And then the next week, this happened.
Yep. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. No.
But that's exactly what happened. That's what killed the storyline. Benoit snapped and killed his family. That's what killed the story.
Oh, I do remember that because then McMahon had to get out there and address everyone.
And it was a bad taste now. Yeah.
Well, that was him addressing the people then, and he didn't know what the story was. So he had that big heartfelt, you know, we miss you. And then two days later, SpaghettiOs.
Yeah.
But what was worse, that or the Brian Pullman one where he starts interviewing the wife. That was super cringy.
Yeah, but she's the one who decided to participate in that.
He asked her the most awkward questions that you could possibly ask a human being.
Yeah, but he did the same thing with Bulldog and his wife. When Bulldog was going through his problems.
So he can't get it up anymore is what you're telling me.
But you know, the whole fact that they just did this angle where Vince died and then this wrestler is dead and then it turns out he killed his family and then it's going after them for the idea of steroids, but no one's talking about the fact that it's PTSD and concussions, you know, on top of everything.
It was a nuanced, really, it was a layered thing. Yeah. Who was the ex-wrestler who blew the lid off that? I want to say Nowinski. Yeah, that was Nowinski. And they and they did a CAT scan of his brain, and his brain looked like a freaking chessboard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Looked like scrambled eggs.
And that was because he was doing those high flying headbutts and everything else in the ring. And he told them months earlier he was going to Nowinski. And he goes, "Hey, look, can you help me out?" He was actually in the process of trying to get some treatment. He was at the beginning stages of trying to get the treatment. He was talking to Nowinski, and he go, "I don't feel right. I don't feel right. My behavior is erratic. I need help. What do I do?" And they probably should have sequestered him.
And Nowinski's like, "Kill your family." So it was all Chris Nowinski's fault. That's what I hear.
No. Look, you know what?
Can we be honest? We all know it was Kevin Sullivan. Internet conspiracy has been.
I heard that right afterwards, and
that one has been around for 20 years almost.
Well, I mean, what drove that guy really batshit was Eddie Guerrero dying, but then Eddie Guerrero was another one. Eddie Guerrero was our height, and he was a brick shit house, and you don't get that large at 5'8" unless you're doing some fucking gnarly ass steroids. And Vicky, who said she'd walk into the room and he'd be asked out for hours on end. So,
well, it wasn't the steroids that was doing that.
Oh, well, heroin or the...
No, it was the painkillers and booze.
Well, heroin's a painkiller.
Well, he wasn't on heroin.
Okay. All right. Whatever the fuck he was on. Whatever the fuck he was fucking down. And booze. All right.
Not heroin.
All right.
God, I mean, I can say Chris Nowinski told Benoit to kill his family, and that's okay. But if you're saying Eddie Guerrero was on heroin, right, you're going to get a lot of feedback that is negative, bro.
Exactly.
All I know is that Tarot Destroyer came on his second week in a row to talk about his boyfriend's testicles being bitten off by a camel.
And that's a great story. Steve, you're over under on testicle biting off by camels this week.
Well, it all depends on if John Moxley is scheduled for a match. Anyway, realistically, we saw finally, and yes, we are a little over 3 weeks out from All Out, considering today is September 1st. Holy shit, by the way, just as a total aside. Yeah. So September 1st, All Out is September the 20th. We did get the table set last week in a lot of cases for the All Out show. We saw the announcement of Christian and Cope teaming up again to take on FTR. I know, Michaels, you're going to be completely enthralled for that one. I know you can't wait. And obviously, there are going to be other things.
He loves Big Stoke. He loves Big Stoke.
Dude. There's so many things I hate about everything involving in that. That's just horrible.
Dude, Stokely cracks me up every fucking week. But that's not why we're here. That's not part of this segment. So realistically, I think that we have, what, two matches on the books that are confirmed for the All Out show. And this week on Dynamite, they did a lot this past week with vignettes, promos. I was really surprised, to be honest. I know a lot of the internet backlash was based on the attendance, the way that the building looked, and we even covered it here. But they did a good amount of promos in different settings, different types of promos to actually get people invested in storylines. So what I think we're going to see is that continue this week on Dynamite. And I think that we are going to see another three matches come into focus. So the over under this week is going to be over 2.5 matches announced for All Out on September 20th, as they will continue to fill out the card so that they can actually sell some tickets to the fucking thing, and so that they can promote the fucking thing. Let's hope. Yes, Rob.
What's the storyline?
I don't know.
He knows it's white and he puts it up his nose. That is what a storyline is.
Well played.
Okay, did anybody get high for tonight? Did anyone get high tonight?
Maybe.
I took it all. Shivani, is there any left?
No, sir.
You got all of the cocaine, and that was one hell of a line.
Was it one story?
All right, we've heard a lot from the president tonight, so let's hear one final thing from the president.
Well, you know, I got to say, you know, they had this guy come out to TKO, and he sold the WWE, and he had a pencil mustache. I don't know if that was really Vince McMahon. I think that was an actor. That was probably a stunt guy hired by Joe Biden. I think that they're going to find out that they're going to accuse Vince McMahon of being on Epstein Island, which I know nothing about. People told me what the name is. I've never heard of it before. But you're going to find that Shane McMahon and Linda McMahon, not Linda McMahon. We like Linda McMahon. But that Stephanie McMahon and Hunter Hearst Paul Helmsley Levesque III were running a wrestling child ring of 9-year-old Japanese wrestlers trained by Kenny Omega to do an illegal prepubescent child wrestling scheme, okay, where they force 9-year-old girls. Do you believe this? This is sick. This is some really sick stuff. They've got 9-year-old girls wrestling Kenny Omega. Okay, look it up. It's real. It's real. Believe me. And they have these wrestling schools where these 9-year-olds, they come in with kick pads. Some of them are on the rag, and they're wrestling Kenny Omega for their freedom. And
this is the problem with you, the president of the United States. You just make shit up because we know the facts. And obviously, if Kenny Omega was doing this, it was not girls.
Excuse me. This is true. This is true. Look it up. He's been wrestling children. He's been wrestling little Japanese girls. Okay, Konichi no. And he's a rapist. He's part of the Epstein files. And he was sponsored by the McMahon Helmsley era. Okay. The McMahon Helmsley era funded this, and we're looking into this, but I was never on a plane that was headed off to Puerto Rico, but 20 miles to the west. I know nothing about these things, but I would look there. And Mr. McMahon, if you are alive, give me a sign, give me a message, send me a billion. We're going to need a lot of money for the 2028 campaign. Believe me.
All right, time for a social media dump. You know, someone who used to like to take massive dumps and have fun with it was Andre. These were posted online.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I mean mega dumps.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was huge, man. He used to take shits in his bedding, basically from the hotels, and leave it in the bathroom for employees to find.
Yeah, it was in a sequel to his favorite movie. It was called The Princess Log.
Yeah, exactly. And these were some Labor Day photos of Andre and his parties there. Nice little Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby awesome. Heaton picture there. That was a cool little thing.
Yes.
Finally, Charlie Brown got his revenge on that bitch, Lucy.
Finally.
RKO! Oh, God, RKO!
The Japanese bathtubs, too. Carding.
Jesus
Christ. Kenny Omega. All right. Hey, happy birthday. Sylvester Stallone turned 79. Mr. T turned 74.
Damn.
Are you for real? Sylvester Stallone 79?
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's AI, but you know, the sick thing is AI is getting really eerily accurate.
Yeah, right. It's speaking of Nick Flair.
he could do it too.
Oh, The Rock Lesnar, of course. And everyone's favorite, Stevie Wondertaker.
Nice.
It's just ironic that he looks like Stevie Wondertaker with Brother Love sunglasses.
Jesus, that's scary as fuck.
Hey, last week we talked about how this show likes to eat ass. This week, is there anyone else out there who would like to eat some ass? Oh, this guy does.
Oh, hello. I'd love to eat some ass. Let me play an arpeggio and talk to you about the time I cleaned out Mr. McMahon. I got to taste the genetic jackhammer. Oh, too much of a McMahon is a wonderful thing. Then I played a whole night on the strip, and then I stripped for Vince Kenny McMahon and got to taste the genetic jackhammer and his grapefruits. Oh, my. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Hello.
Hello, Mandy. Oh, back in the day when Mandy was two belts in. And this one's just for you, Rob.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about Rob, but I'll show you what's behind my candelabra.
Oh, boy. Oh, sorry. That's almost my G.I. Joe collection going on there.
Besides the fact that I have all of those figures and have done exactly that.
I know. Who has them, dude?
I literally have all of those eunuchs except for the Jeep.
Well, and that's the main part. If you don't have the Jeep, you just can't have Scarlett getting butt-fucked while sucking off.
Well, no, I had the Sergeant Slaughter tank. I had that unit instead.
That unit, huh?
Yeah.
Sergeant Slaughter's unit, huh? Great.
By age 26, you should have no kids, no wife, and at least one WWE replica belt. We should
I don't have the belt, but I got the rest checked off.
Hey, it's Roman Reigns.
He's not that kind of Asian.
And Paul Heyman.
All right.
Triple A, the roadside assassin.
Oh, God.
Becky Lynch, come get served. Mick Folder, the office hardcore legend. This performance review just got extreme. And of course, Cooker T. Can you dig that? Souffle. Hey, little Soul Ruka.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Can't go wrong with Soul. Oh, oh, the dark side. Paul and Seth.
Oh, you're going to find out that your friends are going to be very late.
Oh, you gotta love that. Oh, there's
with the Chicago the lightsaber
dust. Fuck that guy.
What's wrong, man? I mean, you know what?
The force is weak with fragile Phil.
That's right.
You know, you would still have him around if it wasn't for glass.
Just fits. That just fits.
That does work.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It does. It does work perfectly.
He would be a Luke Skywalker type.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Travis Kelce reading before Marion Taylor Swift.
And you will never, never get my money again.
And we got the new Cracker Barrel logo.
Jeez.
Yeah, that doesn't look in any way a little sketch. What was this?
Hey, good old John Cena when he was in his 54 uniform back in his college football days. And of course, it's like a side penis. You just can't.
No, it's like a sore penis.
Sore penis.
Oh, sore penis. There you go.
You just can't beat me.
There you go.
Oh, he's a pussy. Little chafe never stopped me.
Little Chafe, huh? Little Chafe. Is that who you've been running around with recently?
You had to think about it. That's the best part.
You know, this is so sad that we're getting made fun of by the WWE mark.
Yeah, well. All right. You know, it's Labor Day, so happy Labor Day out there to all you mothers-to-be. You know, it's the hardest time, right, when you are, you know, on the edge of giving birth and your water breaks. I just hope that no one slipped. Everyone.
That's why you have to tell the genetic jackhammer one's head before they go into labor. Ah! They better give head first before they have a baby.
Yeah.
There's no disgrace when you finish on their face.
Oh, boy. Speaking of finishing on the face, Rob, what gigs do you have coming up?
We are going to have on the 14th, if I'm not mistaken, it's going to be at... Oh, my headphone is cutting out. God damn it. What the fuck? Next week, we're going to have Shodola Abibi for what's called Tabloid Tonight. And then at the 27th, I want to say... If it is a Saturday, I might be at two different shows, either Ola Abibi and or going to Backstop to do a roast battle. So that is to be determined. But stay tuned for roast battle. And it's supposed to be against this little fucking jabroni named, hold on, what's his name? It's so unimportant. Kota Bonkovic. Oh, excuse me. His stage name is Kota Hawk. He's a little hairless jabroni, fucking little putz, and doesn't have any jokes, but his career, of course. And we're going to roast him worse than a pig in Hawaii.
Oh, okay. Well, then, that's pleasant. That's pleasant.
Well, it's not going to be for him.
I would bet not. in any event, thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, repsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Save yourself 10%.
There you go. Gotta love
they
it.
They held Dave. Back on
dude
a lot of what they could do.
Yeah, we did.
Excuse me, I never hold back. And my good friend Vincent Kennedy McMahon, I don't hold back. I sign NDAs.
Yeah, well, you know, according to madeupstats.com, this song has been the most requested song on podcasts for the last 2 weeks now. So we bid you all a fair adieu tonight.
DJ Impact's raw high cowboy boots, white snake skin pattern on the top of the shoe. I got my hat on, I'ma tie it with a noose, cause I love you to death, girl, you got me on you. Yeah, these girls do the most, like every time I talk, they don't like what I post. I went down to Texas to perform a couple shows, cause they love the way I move and they love the way I roll. Big pimpin' on the flight to New York, no I'm not from Texas but I'm on the dance floor. Do-si-do with a blonde little bang, I just might give her a ring and I just wanna hear her sing. DJ Impact's raw high cowboy boots, white snake skin pattern on the top of the shoe. I got my hat on, I'ma tie it with a noose, cause I love you to death, girl, you got me on mute.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah! With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert nights. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tights. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rubble
bunch of Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere, these bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.